There is a crown hung here with gold, hung from Emmanuel's reign, and sinners clung beneath that blood, lose all their
and praise.
Time to continue on with our worship service in the way of prayer and preaching. And as always, we welcome everybody that's come to worship with us today. We appreciate your presence and your fellowship. There's a lot of sickness, and we certainly have our portion of it down our way, and it seems that you have your portion of it up this way. And we want to remember those that are in the rest homes. Sister Haynes, her sister's in the Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem. I just found out she's had a bypass. understand that Sister Smothers, who had her foot taken off right recently by reason of poor circulation, has had a heart attack also. Been back in the hospital with that, but I think she's either back home or ready to come home. And there's just a lot of sickness around, and we've had lots of it among the churches and around Winston. So we want to be mindful of those. We're all getting older, and we can expect more of that as we get older. But we are a blessed people. The scripture says, "Happy art thou, O Israel, saved of the Lord." And that is a happy people whose God is the Lord, because He is God, and besides Him there is none other. And He is the one that has made heaven and earth and the fullness therein, and having all power in heaven and in earth. Happy are the people who have such a God for their God. There are God's many and Lord's many, and that is in the people's mind for whom they worship. There are God's many and Lord's many. But there's just one God, the Apostle Paul said. We know that there's just one God. And what a wonderful blessing to have that truth. Not only to have it, but to believe it and to hold it for your own. It's a very liberating and exhilarating truth to have that God for your God. Let's turn to number page 152, hymn number 379, as a way of an opening hymn. And we, as we go to the Lord in prayer, we hope you'll be blessed to pray with us and for us. Who's this? Oh. Well, the Clyde Strader?
Yes.
Just had a bypass?
I'm pretty sure he did.
Uh-huh. Was he in the hospital here? Uh-huh. Well, we'll want to remember him, his family. Would you lead us in 379? Faint and poor, behold us, Lord, again assembled at Thy mercy's door, Thy bounty to obtain. Thy word commands us now, oh, we must starve in thee, for we know my need to buy no righteousness to plead. Food our spirits want, Thy hand of faith and grace. Our most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we bow before Thee and in Thy presence to call upon Thy great and marvelous name again. And we're ever conscious, our Father, of our sinful condition that alienates and separates us from Thee, who art the thrice holy God. And yet, our Father, Thou hast provided a sacrifice and an atonement for sin. And how thankful we are, O blessed Father and our blessed Redeemer, that in Thy great love and grace, Thou hast provided a way that poor sinners might come to Thee and might be acceptable in Thy sight without spot or blemish or any such thing, all because of the righteousness of our Lord and our Savior, even Jesus, Him who is the mediator of the everlasting covenant, the only mediator between God and man, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Not only the sin of Thy chosen people Israel in nature, but also the sin of Thy chosen people in spiritual Israel, out of every tongue and every tribe and nation on the face of the earth. How we thank Thee and worship and praise Thee again this morning for Thy glorious grace that Thou hast bestowed upon the children of men. Now, Father, we thank Thee again for the church here at Reedsville on Lindsay Street. We thank You, dear Lord, for the fellowship we have one with another through the gospel of the grace of God and by the witness of the eternal Spirit. We trust it's in our bosom this morning that seal these wonderful truths to our heart, that we might have these precious promises to have and to hold for our very own, to lift us up above the vain and beggarly elements of this world, that we might have a hope of life eternal, and that through Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. We thank You again, Father, for Thy many, many blessings that Thou bestowed upon us. And we pray now that Thou would, O Lord, receive our worship this morning, and bless, O Lord, Thy word, as we endeavor to read from Thy holy book. Lord, we pray that Thou would bless it with Thy Spirit and send it forth in power, that it might enlighten our minds and our understanding, that we might grow in the riches and the grace of our Lord and our Savior, and be built up in the most holy faith, and be better witnesses of Thy mercy and of Thy grace, of Thy goodness and loving kindness. And our Father and our God, we pray now for the sick and the afflicted, the aged and the infirm, each and every one who has their trials and tribulations and sicknesses this morning. Lord, we pray for each and every one. We pray Thou would bless each one that's here and their loved ones and those that's asked a request in our prayers. We're thankful, Lord, that Thou knowest how to be a hedge round and about them, and to come to them in the hour of need, and to make them know that Thou art their shield and great reward, and that things are well with the soul, even though it might be adversity in the body. We thank You, dear Lord, that Thou art God, and besides Thee there is none other. And our Father and our God, we would pray once more for the rulers of this land, from the highest down to the very smallest, those that has authority over us. Lord, we pray that Thou would bless them. May they come to want to see their need of Thee and call upon Thy great and wonderful name, that we might live in the midst of this great people with peace and prosperity, and Thy church might have the freedom to continue to worship and to praise Thy great and wonderful name. These blessings we ask in the name of Jesus and for His sake, and amen. We want to read to you out of the second chapter of Colossians, and desire continued interest in your prayers as we stand before you for a few minutes. In the sixth verse, we read, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord." We understand the title Lord there is emphasized. There is a doctrine abroad in the land, they tell me, that you can believe in the Lord Jesus and receive him as such, but not necessarily as Lord, just believe in Jesus. But the scriptures tells us that God makes his people willing in the day of his power. And if that be the case, beloved, then we see him not only as a Savior, but as Lord of all, the King of saints, and the head of the church, the husband of the bride, the foundation of the building, him who is all and in all. And so, as we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, the apostle is... Well, let's read some more verses here that we might get the setting. He begins the chapter by saying, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea." Laodicea and Colossae was close together. In the back of this epistle, I believe, he commands that this epistle that he is writing to the church at Colossae to be read at the church at Laodicea also. It says, "I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." And it continues on, it just goes on telling of those things that they had received in Christ when they received him. We learned from the scriptures that God has a people among the Gentiles as well as among the Jews, and he has foreknown them and predestinated them, and he calls them, And he sanctifies them, and he shall glorify them. And we have numerous occasions on how it is said that it is done. The Apostle Paul, when he went to Philippi, he went out to the riverbank there where prayer was wont to be made. And there was a certain woman there, a seller of purple named Lydia. And it said the Lord opened her heart, and she attended unto those things which Paul spoke of. And she invited them into her house. And the church at Philippi started there at the house of Lydia. Later on, he was thrown in jail. And the man that was given in charge to keep him in jail, because of a great earthquake that came, the Lord opened his heart, and he came to Paul and to Silas and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And so we see that Christ is preached, and he is believed on, and he is received in the heart of God's people. The way you receive Christ is by faith. Faith is the gift of God, we are told. In this scripture, it is said that it is the operation, says, "We are buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." And so the saints at Colossae were through the faith of the operation of God, they received Christ. It's not a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge. Faith is the eye that sees him in all of his beauty as Lord of all, sees him as the mediator of the everlasting covenant, the only mediator between God and man, sees him as a prophet, and as a priest, and as a king, sees him as the testator of the New Testament, sees him as the messenger of the covenant, sees him as our kinsman redeemer, as our elder brother, as our friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So by faith of the operation of God, we see Jesus, Christ Jesus the Lord. By faith, faith is a foot that goes to him, that flees to him for refuge, lays hope to him, and the hope that's in him sees him as our blessed hope. And so faith is the eye, and faith is the foot, and faith is the hand that lays hope to him, can touch the hem of his garment and says, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole." And faith is the arms that embraces him and takes him as our very own, our Savior, our Lamb without spot and without blemish. The one that laid down his life from the foundation of the world, that we might receive the remission of sins. For our redemption is in him, and in him we have received the forgiveness of sins. And so the Apostle Paul is telling the saints there, says, "Though you have not seen me, you have not seen my face," he had not been to to see the Colossians. I've been there in person as he referred. He had not seen them, the believers at Laodicea, and yet he was very concerned for them. The burden of the church among the Gentiles was laid upon the Apostle Paul, and it was his love, it was his passion, it was his burden that the believers in Christ, wherever they were, that they might be rooted and built up in Christ Jesus the Lord, that they might be established in the faith once delivered to the saints, that they might not be tossed about by winds of doctrines and by those that lie in wait to deceive, about divers and strange doctrines that are going about, and that was what was going on there at Laodicea and Colossae. They were the agnostics was there, the Judaizers was there. They had come down from Jerusalem and saying that a man must be circumcised in order to be saved. And then the philosophers, those that were the students of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates and the great philosophers of their day, they had doctrines that they mixed and mingled with the doctrines of our Lord and our Christ, and diluted the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. These philosophers, they taught that there were two eternal forces that had forever been. One was good and one was bad. And these forces, these evils and this good, was all in the earth and the things of the earth. These doctrines are still, various forms of them are still over in the Far East today, the Hindus and many believe in reincarnation, and that these evils and spirits are in things of the animated objects of the earth, and they reverence them, and the animals feel like the spirits of their ancestors come back into the animals of the earth, and therefore they can't even kill a roach that gets in the house, and that sort of thing. And so the philosophies, an apostle says that beware, lest that you don't, you're not taken away or drawn away by the these vanities and these lying deceits that men are so ready to mix and mingle with the truth of God and draw away disciples unto themselves. And today, and from that day down to this day, we have many that would mix and mingle the doctrines of men with the doctrines of Christ. They don't. They are just as soon to promote their own ordinances and their own doctrines as that of Christ. It appears that they had rather, and they do. And so he is concern for them, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. In other words, the natural mind receives not the things of the Spirit of God, and neither can he know them, for they are foolishness unto him. But eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them. But yet he has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And it is not of him that willeth, and nor of him that runneth, but it is of God that showeth mercy. It is not by might, and not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the Spirit is spirit. And the doctrines of our Lord are spiritual doctrines. They came from Him. They came from God. He received them from His Father. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the natural man will take the philosophies of man and guide himself by them. Even those that pass themselves off as false apostles and as false ministers, the Apostle Paul confronted them and warned about them. He said, there are false apostles, and there are false Christ, and there are false ministers that transform themselves into angels of light. They come very educated, and they very well dressed. And they look like angels of light, but when they speak, they may look like a lamb, but when they speak, they sound like a wolf. And they are wolves in sheep's clothing, the Lord said. Beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. And thus saith the Lord, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. And when a man, regardless of his fair appearance, and his winning ways, we might say, if he does not speak according to this word, then we should beware of him. We should flee from him. We should not follow him. And that's why the apostle is saying here that he had concern for them, that they might not be taken away by the vain philosophies and beggarly elements of the world. These men, when they quote, I get a lot of religious papers from all over. Once you get on the mailing list, you know, I get all kinds of religious papers from every denomination you can think of. And beloved, when they go to recommend one another, they quote a man. They quote famous men. They quote men more than they quote the Apostle Paul, the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Peter. They rather quote from Augustine and from Dr. So-and-so, and they can tell you all about the books they wrote and the famous sayings that they say and have said, and they can quote from hundreds of sources. And it's the philosophies of men and not the doctrines of Christ. They teach for doctrines the commandments of men. That's what the Lord accused the Pharisees of doing. He said, you are overcome and taken up with the traditions of your fathers, the traditions of the elders, and you disobey and forsake the commandments of God. The Lord accused them of doing that. And man is still the same today. And he sees no more virtue in the Holy Scriptures than he does in man's writings or in their philosophies. We have them today, and that philosophy today is what you see, is what there is, and is what they're going to be. And there's no transcendent God. There's no such thing as spirits, and no such thing as angels. They teach that today, and they belittle people that believe in such fairy tales, they call it, and fantasies and dreams and so forth. They think that you are overcome in superstitions and things of that kind when you speak about angels and devils and demons and a holy and a just God. They cannot understand that, and man overcome in his own works will promote the deeds of the law. If he's got a religion, he'll promote his religion and the works of his religions. And the Jews, they said you must be circumcised in the flesh. Well, God gave them, gave Abraham circumcision as a seal of the covenant that he made with him. It was not a means of purifying the flesh. It was a seal of the covenant that he had made with him. And the apostle says, in whom also he's warning these believers. He said, they've got circumcision of the flesh. Don't be drawn away in the beggarly elements of the things of this world, of earthly and cardinal ordinances and so forth. These things were just types and shadows of something better that was to come. When Christ comes, we will receive the very substance of these types and shadows that to be fulfilled in him. And he says, also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And so Christ then circumcised the heart. He takes out the hard and the stony heart and gives you a heart of flesh. And this is the circumcision of God, not made with hands. And Christ is our temple and our tabernacle. He is the God of the universe, in the very the very embodiment of God. He said, beware, for in him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. And so in the body of Jesus, not in the tabernacle, the Shekinah glory dwelled in the tabernacle and in the temple of Solomon, when God was with them, when that was in force. But now Christ is come, and his body is a temple not made with hands, but made of God in heaven. And so we have a temple, the very body of Christ, and the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily, in the body of Jesus, a body prepared for him in the womb of the Virgin Mary, a body specifically made for the union.